WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. United Way offers free tax filing help leading up to the federal deadline. Weapons law violations at Virginia colleges and universities are way up in recent years. And could a vaccine help prevent opioid addiction and overdoses? This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, March 31st. As the federal tax filing deadline approaches on April 15th, United Way is helping local low to middle income households make the most of their returns. WMRA's Omega Ilovich reports.
To alleviate some of the financial stresses that come with tax season, the United Way of Central Shenandoah Valley is providing free tax preparation services for households with a combined income of $68,000 or less. In these weekly Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, or VITA, sessions, IRS-certified volunteers help clients understand their taxes and receive any credits they qualify for. This is the first VITA program from the Harrisonburg-based branch, which expanded to serve Stanton, Augusta, and Waynesboro in 2025. A few months after that area's United Way arm closed. When Director of Programs Nadina Pupich came to the organization from the old Stanton branch, she knew she wanted to bring the popular program with her.
And you really just see everyday working folks that come in and they're so thankful that they did not have to spend half of their paycheck on having that tax return.
Pupich says VITA can be helpful for any low to middle earners, from first-time filers to retirees. This year, she's also seen an influx of part-time contractors in need of assistance.
A lot of people are trying to supplement their income through gig work. So a lot more folks are exploring other ways of making money, but not necessarily understanding how taxes around that work.
As of March 27th, the organization has filed taxes for over 200 participants, who have received about $170,000 in federal returns and $36,000 in state returns. Volunteers will be available by appointment in Harrisonburg, Stanton, and Waynesboro through April 9th. For WMRA News, I'm Omega Ilovich.
We've posted links to more information at WMRA.org and on our app. Virginia is still under an open-air burn ban through April 30th, as much of our area is still under moderate to severe drought. Open-air burning is only allowed between 4 p.m. and midnight. Open-air fires include burns that are uncovered or contained within non-flammable barriers, as well as ones that don't pass through chimneys. Violating the ban is a Class 3 misdemeanor. The ban does not apply to charcoal or gas grills, but does include the open-air charcoal grills found in public parks as they are uncovered. An invasive plant with yellow flowers is in bloom across central Virginia. WVIR reports the low-lying plant, Ficaria verna, is an invasive herbaceous perennial forming in dense mats along areas prone to flooding, including along riversides. The plant appears for only a few weeks above ground before the shade and summer heat sets in, spending most of its life underground. When growing, it crowds out other plants, and forestry officials say the flower is hard to control, but can be dug up or treated with low doses of herbicide. Weapons law violations at Virginia colleges and universities have climbed sharply in recent years. WHRO's Okunle Falayi reports.
Virginia State Police data shows colleges reported 55 weapons violations last year, a nearly 40% increase from the low of 2020. ODU campus police handled roughly half of all aggravated assaults investigated by college law enforcement statewide last year. Campus safety advocates say some cases stem from visitors bringing weapons into university spaces, not from campus communities themselves, and campus environments are typically far safer than their surrounding communities. Former Governor Glenn Youngkin vetoed bills to restrict firearms on campuses despite the increase in incidents. A firearm restriction bill was approved by the General Assembly this year and awaits Governor Abigail Spanberger's decision.
Kunle Falayi reporting. Virginia Democrats sent several gun-related bills to Governor Abigail Spanberger this year. The legal challenges are already being prepared. Dean Mirshahi with VPM News reports.
One of the most highly contested pieces of legislation passed this year was a ban on future sales of assault weapons. Delegate Dan Helmer, a Democrat from Fairfax, said the measure would help protect against mass shootings.
Our communities are not battlefields, they shouldn't be, and this bill is about making sure they aren't.
House Minority Leader Terry Kilgore called the bill an infringement on people's Second Amendment rights.
This bill will be overturned.
Governor Spanberger has said she would sign the measure, but her office said she's still reviewing the bill. Pro-gun rights groups and the representatives for the firearm industry have said they will file legal challenges the day she does sign the bill.
Dean Mirshahi reporting. The statewide referendum on a proposed constitutional amendment to redraw Virginia's congressional districts is heating up on the airwaves and in mailboxes across Virginia. Radio IQ's Michael Pope reports.
Free and fair elections are the cornerstone of our democracy, but right now they are under threat.
That's former President Barack Obama in a commercial supporting a constitutional amendment to redraw Virginia's congressional districts. But a new direct mail campaign uses a still from that ad to make it look like Obama is against the amendment, urging voters to protect minority representation. Here's Wes Bellamy at Virginia State University.
They really don't value us, and they really think that we're stupid. And I'm hoping that individuals turn out in droves to vote yes before April 20th. First, not for anything else, but just to stick it to the individuals who think that we're really dumb, unintelligent, uninformed voters who can be misled by a mailer like this one.
The most recent mailer follows another one, comparing the amendment to Jim Crow and the KKK. Here's Jatia Wrighton at Virginia Commonwealth University.
It's dishonest in its treatment of historically oppressed voters who are Black and brown people, but especially, you know, the history of Jim Crow in the United States. And so racism has always been an effective tool in this country to ensure that marginalized groups do not gain access to power.
Groups in favor of the amendment have raised significantly more money, and so they're dominating the airwaves. But opponents are using their money in a direct mail campaign that may be coming to a mailbox near you. I'm Michael Pope.
Despite reporting that the White House is seeking $200 billion in funding for the war in Iran, Virginia Senator Tim Kaine says there has yet to be a formal request. Jad Khalil with VPM News reports.
Kaine said it is hard to decide on supplemental funding for the Iran war without seeing a proposal, but he did say he was prepared to vote against it if it could stop the conflict, which the U.S. launched in late February.
Again, you have to see what the details are, because sometimes a supplemental contains all kinds of other stuff, too.
Kaine didn't rule out voting for the additional funding, but he did point to other legislation of his to stop the war.
As you know, I have been leading the charge in Congress by filing more powers resolutions against this war. Illegal because the president started a war without coming to Congress. Unwise because Iran posed no imminent threat. And what you've seen is a president going to war without a rationale or without a plan.
Kaine was speaking to the media after he cast a yes vote in Virginia's upcoming referendum on redistricting.
Jad Khalil reporting. Drug overdoses remain one of the leading causes of death in the U.S. For years, researchers have been exploring whether vaccines could prevent opioid addiction and overdose death. Researchers at Virginia Tech have designed a new type of vaccine that blocks the dangerous effects of oxycodone and fentanyl. Radio IQ's Roxy Todd reports.
This research is in the early stages, and the vaccine has only been tested on mice. But initial results show that using a special type of nanoparticle can be more effective than previously developed opioid vaccines at triggering the body's natural immune response. The vaccine teaches cells to recognize and fight off the dangerous effects of opioids. Yuen Ju Bien is one of the researchers who worked on the study. He says this vaccine wouldn't replace other medications like naloxone or buprenorphine, but could be another important tool in preventing overdoses.
I think our vaccine can be a complement to the existing treatment methods. It's a completely different approach. We target the molecules in the circulation before they enter the brain. I think it's a promising approach.
The vaccine would need to be studied further before it's ever tested on humans. And the federal government currently doesn't appear to have a strong appetite to fund new vaccine research. If more studies do show promise, the vaccine could someday be made available to people at risk of an overdose, like those with opioid use disorder, or teenagers who are more likely to try a drug for the first time, unaware that it may be laced with fentanyl. In Blacksburg, I'm Roxy Todd.
Finally today, the Virginia Department of Transportation is suspending highway work zones and lifting temporary lane closures for the upcoming Easter holiday weekend. The temporary changes apply to interstates and other major roads, and they will be in effect from noon this Friday until noon on Tuesday, April 7th. VDOT says that some areas with semi-permanent work zones may remain in place. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy your Tuesday.